I am loving.
I am fabulous.
I am beautiful.
I am saved.
I am a victor.
I am faithful.
I am devout.
I am accepted.
I am a Christian. I am MCC.
And I am MCC.
I am MCC.
I am MCC.
And I am MCC.
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 Eternal and loving God, we thank you and praise you for the beauty found and expressed in the diversity of creation, and that you have made and declared all things good. Though we remain physically distant from one another, you continue to gather us in the fullness of your love. As we gather in worship and prayer, may we hear and see ourselves in the stories of our faith ancestors and find wisdom in them. As we gather in friendship and community, bless us with your healing and anointing through our holy conversation, one with you and one with each other. May we continue to love others as we love ourselves, and doing so, we are able to love you, Holy One. In our time of listening and sharing, may the words we receive become like seeds that will be planted in our hearts to grow and produce good fruits in our lives and in our community. This we pray in the name of all that is loving and in Christ Jesus, your child. Amen.
Many people swing their treasures as those kings who traveled far, drawn from all their scattered places back to Christ the morning star. Only offer gifts to others, and from them receive in turn. In the gathering of
unity,
living in the same place, causing.
Punta tayo sa next queer story. Kay Ruth at Naomi. Sa Old Testament, sa Hebrew Testament, there is no, wala kang mababasang law against women intimacy. So meron tayo between men, yung Leviticus 18:20. No man shall lie with another man as one lies with a woman. Sa Deuteronomy, merong prohibition about there shall not be among the people of Israel a Kadesh and Kedesha. Kadesh and Kedesha. Na tinatranslate nila as sodomite, pero wrong translation yun. Ang translation nun is male prostitute and female prostitute, which is actually temple prostitution. Pero there is nothing in the Old Testament, Hebrew Testament, that is mentioned about women being sexually intimate with each other. Bakit? Balik tayo sa context, sa sexual historical context noon. Lalaki lang ang nagsulat ng iba't ibang libro ng Bible. Number two, ibasa nga po, sabay-sabay.
Ancient men thought of sex only through their lens. Only men had sexual agency.
Therefore, number three,
they never knew or imagined that sex and intimate relationships were possible among women.
And lastly,
very few to almost no resources we have about our relationships with women. Although we have stories of
Iphis and yung story ni Iphis, it's a Greek story na yung manganganak yung asawa ng isang, I don't know, Greek lord or something. Papatayin niya daw yung bata pag ito ay lumabas na babae. So, nung lumabas yung bata, babae, pinalabas nung nanay na at nung kumadrona na ito ay lalaki. So pinalaki siya na parang lalaki. And when he came, when she came of age, pinakasal siya sa isang babae. So that's one of the very very few, halos walang resources about lesbian relationships. Kasi nga ang sex noon ay para lang sa lalaki. Okay? So let's go to the story of Ruth, Naomi, and Boaz. Okay. Sino nakapanood ng Rainbow Sunset? Hindi pa napapanood? Rainbow Sunset? Siyempre, magkaibang context yan, pero Rainbow Sunset will be the closest of the story of Ruth, Naomi, and Boaz. The closest. Magkaiba, pero you can draw some semblance to it. At ang story ni Ruth, there are only two books in the Bible that are named after women. Si Ruth, the Book of Ruth, and Esther. No? Pero lalaki pa rin nagsulat niya. Okay? And the Book of Ruth is usually told, and this is valuable to the Jews, during the Festival of Weeks, which is Pentecost, to the Jewish tradition. And today is Pentecost. Okay, so tingnan natin. Balik ulit tayo sa context, palaging context. Ano ang kasal noon? Para saan lang ang kasal noon? Political. Pag, sa mga mayayaman, sa mga hari, sa mga prinsipe, it's political. Pero sa 99% of the population, marriage is economic. And yun nga, to prolong your bloodline. Economic because 99% of ancient peoples were really, really poor. And women were considered as property. Women, hindi lang sila walang sexual agency, they did not have any economic agency. Meaning, Mabubuhay ka lang kung ikaw ay under ng iyong tatay o kung ikaw ay may asawang nagtatrabaho o may kayamanan. Ganyan. Pag wala ka ng asawa at wala kang anak na male, mamamatay ka sa ancient world. Okay, as a woman. O hindi naman, pwede, you will be forced into prostitution. Pag wala ka ng choice. Another context about women in ancient times, a young girl becomes a woman as soon as she menstruates. As soon as she menstruates, siya ay pwede nang ibenta ng kanyang tatay sa highest bidder. Okay? Or, pare-pareho naman silang mahihirap, mawawalan siya ng isang pakakainin sa kanilang bahay. No? That's the historical context of women back then. So ang story ni Ruth at Naomi, chapter 1, si Naomi may dalawang anak at sila ay Hudyo. They are Jews. May asawa siya, may dalawa siyang anak na lalaki. Nagkaroon ng famine sa kanilang lugar. So lumipat sila sa Moab. In the land of Moab. Hindi naman OFW kasi lahat sila lumipat. Nag-migrate sila sa Canada. Nag-migrate sila sa Moab. Ngayon, sa Moab, namatay na yung asawa niya. Namatay yung dalawang anak niya nakapag-asawa ng dalawang Moabite na babae. At isa doon si Ruth. The other one, anong pangalan sa mga MCC?
Orpa.
Orpa. Okay. Orpa. Ngayon, at some time, namatay yung asawa ni Naomi, yung tatay. Namatay din yung asawa ni Ruth at ni Orpa. So, ano mangyayari sa kanila? Tapos wala silang anak. So they will literally die because they do not have men in their lives. A woman also cannot inherit. Pag may babae, wala nang lalaki sa kanyang buhay, anuman yung pagmamay-ari niya, pupunta dun sa kamag-anak.
The nearest male relative.
So yan ang background story. Ngayon, sabi ni Naomi, ang plano ni Naomi, uuwi na lang siya, babalik na siya sa Bethlehem. Sa Bethlehem. Kasi meron pa siyang mga kamag-anak doon. At may verse pa dyan na, don't call me Naomi anymore. Call me
Mara.
Because my life has become bitter.
Yes, Ate Mara.
Someone told me that Mara meant bitter. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So sabi niya sa kanyang dalawang daughters-in-law, sabi niya sa kanila, bumalik na lang kayo sa mga pamilya niyo sa Moab. Balik na lang kayo doon. Kasi wala na kayong mapapala sa akin. Kahit mag-anak pa ako muli, hindi niyo naman hihintayin yung aking magiging anak ay lalaki at, di ba? So, hindi posible. So, magsiuwi na lang tayo sa sarili nating mga lahi. Now, so there are clues. Again, there are clues about this intimate relationship. Number one, in verse 14, chapter 1 of Ruth, it is said that Ruth, so nung pinapalayas niya na yung dalawa niyang daughter-in-law, sabi, si Orpa umuwi na, si Ruth, sabi doon sa chapter 14, clung to Naomi. Now, the word that was used in Hebrew, so textual analysis tayo in the original language, ang ginamit na word is davak. Davak. Yan ang Hebrew niya, davak. The word dabak means to cling. And the first time that it was mentioned was when the first time that Adam saw Eve, Adam clung unto his new wife. So the same word, to cling, was used to describe how Ruth clung to Naomi. And there are other stories in the Old Testament where the man clung to his wife. Second clue, the greatest vow used in Christian weddings, the basis of our vows today, anong vow natin sa kasal? For sickness and in health, for richer or poorer, till death do us part. Galing yon dito.
So she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not press me to leave you or to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, there will I be buried. May the Lord do thus and so to me, and more as well, if even death parts me from you."
Okay, now, yung vow na yan ay kinakanta in older days, 90s, 80s, kinakanta yan, the Song of Ruth. Kinakanta yan sa mga Roman Catholic weddings. Not knowing that this is a vow between one woman to another woman. At mas matindi pa nga eh. Kasi sa vows natin ngayon, till death do us part. Ito, sumpain ako ng Panginoon kung maski kamatayan ay ihiwalay ako sa iyo. Death cannot even separate me from you. And this is between two women. Ngayon, palagi natin nai-imagine sa mga nakakalam ng story of Ruth, sa kapag pag nababasa natin sa Bible yung salitang widow, ano na-imagine nyo? Ilan taon yung widow?
50s.
Hmm? Anong age? 50s? 60s? Mga ganyan. Masyonda na. Modern thinking yan. Ang life expectancy among peasant people in ancient times is very early. Saka ano sabi ko kanina, ikinakasal ang batang babae as early as nagka-menstruate, meaning 12 years old, 13 years old, and minsan nga as early as 9 years old. Kasi may mga batang 9 years old, early nag-menstruate. So, you can imagine, I will approximate the age of Naomi to be about mid-30s. And I will approximate the age of Ruth around mid-20s or early 20s. So, hindi nyo ma-imagine yan na super tanda, So, ganun. Now, bago tayo pumunta sa ending, kasi 4 chapters lang ang Book of Ruth. Maikling kwento lang to. Just 4 chapters. You can read it in 30 minutes or less. So, in between yan, ang kwento niyan, so umuwi ng Bethlehem si Naomi at si Ruth, at si Ruth ay nag-start mangalat ng mga nababagsak na mga trigo, grapes, kasi harvest time. There is a law among the Israelites that anything na hinarvest na nalaglag, huwag mo nang kunin, for that should be for the poor and the widows and the orphans. Okay? Diba? Kasi pag nag-aani, minsan may malalaglag niya, diba? Habang nag-aani kayo. So lahat ng nalaglag, huwag mo nang kunin, ipinag-uutos ni Yahweh, huwag mo nang kunin, hayaan mo siyang para sa mga mahihirap sa mga widows at sa mga orphans. So, ang ginawa ni Ruth para mag-survive sila, doon sa relative, the land na relative ni Naomi, nag-start manguha, mamulot ng mga nahulog na mga trigo at mga grapes si Ruth. Land yon ni Boaz. Si Boaz. Okay? Ngayon, ang plan nilang dalawa para mag-survive sila, nag-connive tong dalawa, isidus mo si Boaz. Isidus mo. Punta ka isang gabi doon sa threshing floor kung saan ginigiling yung trigo. Pumunta ka doon at hawakan mo ang paa ni Boaz. Erotic kasi in ancient times, erotic ang paghawak sa paa. Okay? Foot fetish noon. So, ginawa yon ni Ruth. So, may nangyari sa kanila. Eventually, pinakasalan siya ni Boaz. At, so may nangyari sa kanila, nagkaanak si Ruth. So, in the context of ancient times, dahil complicated legal thing. Diba nga, si Naomi, kasi si Boaz, kamag-anak ng asawa ni Naomi. Hindi nila pwedeng i-claim yung dating property ng asawa ni Naomi. Kasi wala ng lalaki. Diba? Ang natira, si Naomi at si Ruth, si Orpa umuwi ng Moab. Hindi kasi pwedeng mag-inherit ang babae. So, ang nangyari, nung pinakasalan ni Boaz si Ruth, pwede nang i-claim ni Boaz yung original property nila Naomi na iniwan nila nung panahon na merong famine. Okay? Kakasunod tayo? Okay, nakasunod tayo? So, pinakasalan lamang ni Boaz si Ruth because of two things. For property so that these two women will survive. We don't know if Boaz really loved Ruth. Again, marriages in ancient times are rarely about love. Rarely about love. Nakasunod tayo? Punta tayo sa last chapter ng Ruth.
Then Naomi took the child and laid him in her bosom, and became his nurse. The women of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi." They named him Obed. He became the father of Jesse, the father of David.
Okay, naano natin? This is the last chapter of the book of Ruth. Kanino dapat ipangalan ang anak na lalaki? Sa tatay. Kanino siya pinangalan? A son has been born. Naomi. But the child was the child of Ruth and Boaz. So this is another weird situation if you know ancient times. If you know the context of the ancient time. That a son must always be under the father. But in this case, it has been born to Naomi. And the child that was born was named Obed, who became the father of Jesse, who Jesse as the father of David. Nasa lahi talaga.
Sabi niya, mana-mana yan.
Ang same-sex lang.
And sino si... And many generations after Ruth and David, Who came?
Jesus.
In the genealogy of Jesus, in Matthew, the only woman, one of two women that was mentioned is Ruth, which is not even a Jew. She is
Moabite.
So, panoodin niyo Rainbow Sunset. The closest, I mean, magkaiba sila, pero yung semblance niya ng Ruth, Naomi, Boaz can be read or can be seen in the Rainbow Sunset story. Doon naman, di ba, dalawang lalaki, isang babae. Ito, dalawang babae, isang lalaki. Kasi pre-niche to ni Pastora Kakay before when we were in the yellow room. That this is a queer family of three. Two women and one guy.
Loving God, we know that you are ever present with us and in our lives. You are with us in all of our laughter and celebrations, and as much as you are also with us in times of sorrows and tears. You have shown your faithfulness, loving God, and we continue to trust in you in our continuing journey. In a moment of silence, let us pray for our personal intentions and the people we love. United in Christ and gathered by your Spirit, we pray for one another as a church community. We pray for the metropolitan community churches all around the world. We pray for Reverend Cecilia Eggleston, together with the Council of Elders, the Governing Board, the denominational staff and volunteers. We pray for our church community, Open Table MCC. We have journeyed far and long. We have been faithful to our calling and mission as best as we can, and through it all, you have been with us, Holy One. You have shown your love and faithfulness to us over the years. Our bodies and spirits now seek sabbatical rest, a time of healing and a space for restoration and renewal. We ask that you hallow the month of August for our community as a time of prayerful Sabbath. In this time of Sabbath, we also pray for rest, healing, and renewal for Pastor Joseph and all our leaders, Chris, Sean, Jack, Josh, Dan, and Kuya Vince. Bless, protect, and preserve all our leaders, members, and volunteers. We also pray for all our allies, supporters, and givers. You know their names, their hearts, and their lives. We ask for your blessing upon them and to return to them their generosity in many and different ways. But we do not only pray for ourselves, but also for the world that longs for healing and restoration. We continually pray for healing and strength for all COVID-19 patients, especially those who are in the hospitals and in critical care. We also pray for all the medical and other hospital staff caring for them. We pray for the repose of the soul of all of those who have died during this pandemic. Welcome them into your eternal embrace. Grant comfort and grace to their grieving families. We pray for all the economically poor, especially those who lost their jobs and small businesses, including LGBTQI+ families and individuals. We pray for people living with HIV and AIDS, especially those who are also in the hospitals right now. We pray that as the world in our country slowly overcomes this pandemic, may we learn from the lessons and the countless deaths that showed us the brokenness of our political and social structures. May we all participate in changing the world of justice, compassion, and peace. Lastly, we pray for anyone and everyone who are suffering right now, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually, especially young LGBTQI+ Filipinos. These and many other prayers we entrust to you, God of rest and healing. May our prayers lead us to both healing and loving action in the name of all that is holy and in Jesus Christ, the one who taught us to pray and the one whom we follow. Amen.